Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be truly acceptable to you this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just imagine a high school student who is struggling with maths homework, and yet his father works in a high-tech machinist occupation where he works with complicated maths all the time. So he sits down at the table to help his child. Unfortunately, the father is not a good instructor because he lacks patience in trying to help students. I wonder how many more of us as parents have that problem, having patience trying to teach our kids. The child couldn't relate to his father as an instructor or teacher. He knew his dad as a guy who worked around the house, went out to work for a living, liked to take them out to the sports. He wasn't a teacher by any stretch of the imagination. And the child was frustrated and told his father he would seek help elsewhere with a tutor or another student who he knew to be skilled at high school maths. You know, the father was otherwise very good with the use of maths where he worked. However, at home, his maths ability made him a prophet without honour. And in that same community was a young man who had worked for a manufacturing company. And one day he decided that that wasn't what he was being called to do. He felt he had been called to become an ordained minister. He went through all of the denomination requirements, attended their seminary, and decided he wished to return home to interview for a pastoral vacancy in the area. And the interview went well. But the congregation decided to call a retired army chaplain instead. And they told the young man that while they knew him and his family background, they couldn't see him as their pastor per se. He would always be associated as an employee down the road of the manufacturing company. Welcome to the world of Jesus in our Mark 6 lesson today. The story of Jesus being rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. It's also cited in Matthew 13 and Luke 4. And so it means it's well known by all of the synoptic gospel writers. In Luke's gospel, the hometown crowd expected some consideration in terms of more ministry, miracles and feeding since he was the son of the community. In Luke, Jesus refused to limit his ministry to his place of birth, but saw himself as a missionary who sought and saved the lost in all communities in the area. In Mark, Jesus was rejected simply because he came from a family of a carpenter or a tradesman. He was identified as Mary's son, implying that Joseph, his father, was dead, or there even remained some suspicion about his birth from a virgin mother. Other family issues are dealt with in this text to include whether Jesus had any biological brothers and sisters from his mother Mary. But suffice to say that Jesus wasn't being groomed from a priestly family to become a priestly temple authority or a prophet in his time. You know, if we don't have faith in a person, then they're perceived to be less able to do much help and to serve the community. In season 3 of The Little House on the Prairie, now that dates me, doesn't it? That's episode titled Little Girl, Lost Girl. The little sister Carrie tagged along for a school assignment, but Mary and Lorna failed to keep a close eye on her. And their little sister wandered off and fell into an underground mine shaft. And the only hope they had of retrieving that little girl was from a drunken mining engineer who knew the coal mines quite well. But yet his character remained suspect throughout the whole episode until that little girl was rescued. You know, quite often, until a traumatic event occurs, we might overlook those people within our own community who do have abilities to further the mission of the church. Walnut Grove was the little town in that story. And it didn't have much faith in that drunken engineer's ability to save the little girl. However, later he was able to rescue her, which resulted in a happy ending of the series. The town had new faith in this alcoholic mining engineer. So, what does faith in Jesus mean for us today? Is Jesus' death and resurrection from the grave enough for us to not only be baptized and converted, but to be willing to grow as disciples? In Mark's gospel, Jesus inaugurates the kingdom of God. And to follow him, which we are called to do, is to be part of this kingdom. You know, some commentators observe that possibly his hometown of Nazareth wanted a more glorious, visibly supernatural disclosure from God, rather than a regular human such as themselves, whose name was Jesus of Nazareth. For Mark, Jesus became the Messiah as he suffered real human weaknesses, similar to the suffering servant of Isaiah 52 and 53. But what happens if this suffering servant narrative is not enough? What happens if this hometown is expecting a bigger show? You know, churches today struggle with this. You know, some churches are trying to attract people to worship with modern technology tools, and we're using some of them, and then later informing them that this faith that we are called to, is actually about suffering, of sacrifice, of giving oneself for the benefit of other people, as Jesus said in his mission statement. You know, God has given every one of us gifts, and he calls us to use them to his glory as we use them so the church, the body of Christ, will grow. We're called, every one of us, to serve. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Is any congregation willing to live with the possibility that people hear that message of the suffering servant and respond, thanks but no thanks? We have that all the time. They want something a bit flashier, something more glorious. And that's a question that Mark's gospel brings to the table in this lectionary. You know, are there more people out there than we realise who really don't want a human Jesus who suffers and therefore resist being his disciples, are called to do the same? You know, that might be the question for this season, for us to reflect on. What do we want of our God? And are we willing to reflect that in our lives? You know, the mission of the church continues in Mark's gospel. Jesus didn't allow the rejection of his hometown to dissuade him from his mission. He moved on to the commission of his 12 disciples, split them into teams of two to carry out a mission to have authority over unclean spirits. He had them travel light. They were not permanent residents or priests or clergy. And this brought up the idea that a missionary was a temporary presence who has a different ministry to the resident pastor, who in that day would be the resident rabbi of their community. They were to stay at accommodation offered to them by hosts. They were not to seek a nice hotel or fancy bed or breakfast or more choices of food and possible a pool or other accommodation. I remember the first trip I did to South Africa as a team for SOMA. We were placed in a motel, which I would describe as a bit like a mining camp set of dongers. And it was right between two nightclubs that went till daybreak. And there was no ceiling partitions. It just flowed through, and the smoke and everything else. That's what we were given. And so that's where we stayed. We had a couple of other, the local priests joined us, and they said, no, they can't stay there. We were then moved out to stay with families. But you accept what you're given and work with that. They were to do their mission and then move on. You know, most of the commentators agree that the one message the disciples were to preach at that point was to repent. As John the Baptizer preached, repent, for the good news has come. If they were refused, they were then to move on and shake the dust off their feet. And you know, that tradition comes from the practice of the Jews traveling through Gentile lands, then shaking the Gentile dust off their feet before entrance into the Holy Land. You know, it was as if Jesus almost anticipated his disciples would be rejected, just as he was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. But here is some good news for all of us here at church today. Sometimes we can do so much, or at least our very best to help, to counsel, to suggest, maybe even preach a little bit to those of whom we love. They may ignore us. Rather than get discouraged, we're called to move on and continue with the mission that God calls us to. There are people that even Jesus Christ himself couldn't reach with his message. Possibly we can view this as a seed planted, where someone else must nurture it in other ways. In that opening illustration, the high school student did take advantage of the school's tutoring services. His math grade did go up. The father was able to take some of the boys out to his machine shop and show them how to operate the machines and build projects themselves. That pastoral candidate moved on to the next community and was very successful at ministering to people with similar backgrounds to his family. The other good news here is that God's hand still works mysteriously, even amidst rejection in life. One of the recurring themes of Mark's gospel is the kingdom of God is a mystery. It begins small, insignificant, as a mustard seed, but puts forth the greatest branches much later. God continues to meet us, even when we're rejected. He reminds that he knows us a feeling of rejection. So let's just take that day in Nazareth as an example. And he points us to new life. And this new life takes the form of us being encouraged to carry on. Because in Mark's gospel, the Spirit immediately moves upon the next chapter of our mission in that season of Pentecost. So let's walk forward, trusting God in what we do. Amen.